Shalom, and welcome to another edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast for Jewish Sacred Aging. Great to have you with us. These podcasts are designed to bring some insights into the impact of longevity revolution on our community, on our congregations, and on our families. And we invite you to go to the website, jewishsacredaging.com, for more information and outlines of what Jewish Sacred Aging is all about. And we invite you, please, to like us on the Jewish Sacred Aging Facebook page. And we can also be reached on LinkedIn and all those social media outlets, which everybody knows and loves so well. And it is with pleasure that we welcome to today's edition of Seekers of Meaning, Sarah Cohen, a spiritual companion, elder2elder.com, an up-and-coming website that we'll explore. And Sarah, welcome to Seekers of Meaning. Nice to speak with you. I hope you're okay.
Yes, thank you so much. And I so appreciate being able to talk with you today and to tell you a little bit about what spiritual companionship and psycho-spiritual counseling is.
Yes, so that's really where I want to begin, because the tagline on a lot of your publicity is spiritual companionship and psycho-spiritual counseling. So I guess as just a plain old guy from southern New Jersey, from Philadelphia, what in the world does that mean, spiritual companionship and psycho-spiritual counseling?
Well, I'm going to be very, very happy to tell you about that, but I would like to roll the clock back just a tiny little bit. So for 40 years, I had a practice called From Person to Person, and I did essentially the same thing. And then a few months ago, I had this awakening that it's time now to pay attention to elders. So I started this program of working elder to elder, providing psycho-spiritual counseling and spiritual companionship. So spiritual companionship is what was typically called spiritual direction. And what that means is one person accompanies another on their journey with the divine in any way that that person defines it or not. So a person would come with whatever is on their heart for spiritual companionship. And we would talk through the lens of the divine. It's different from psychotherapy. We don't go into the past. It's different from counseling because we don't do problem solving. The job of the companion, me, is to ask the companionee or directee questions for that person's deep reflection. And from that place, that person discerns what they're being called to in this particular event in their life.
So, Sarah, what does that mean? Translate that for me, because that sounds great. I sit down with you, or you do Skype interview, media stuff like that. But I'm in connection with you, and I call you and say, I'm 75 years old or 70 years old. I'm in transition. The kids are grown. Things are okay, but there's something missing in my life. And I'm very aware that the sands of time, to use that imagery, are flowing more quickly, and I'm starting to lose friends, and, people are getting sick, and I'm scared. When you say that, you look at this through the lens of the divine, what does that mean? This is a very powerful statement, the lens of the divine. What does that mean?
So you're the perfect person to come, and that's the perfect question. So in spiritual companionship, I would ask you, what is your relationship to the divine? Do you have any? Did you ever have any? And then I would wait for your response. Sometimes people would say to me, I did, but I'm so angry I don't anymore. So then we would look at the anger. and say, talk about the anger. And talk about the anger as if the divine is in the room with you. And you are being as angry as you can be. Let's hear you do that.
So I guess the next logical, well, maybe it's not logical, because I'm the last person who's logical. How much do your own Sarah Cohen's belief in the divine, when you use that term through the lens of the divine, what image pops up in your mind? Because obviously, not obviously, but I would assume that part of that imagery and your belief structure impacts or could impact the way you companion somebody.
That's a very good point. For me, it's my job to put me on hold and to be fully present to you, to listen deeply to what's on your heart, not mine.
Yeah, but what does that word mean to you, though? I mean, as long as you open the
divine,
door.
What the divine to me means the ultimate mystery.
Ah, so it's not a being.
Absolutely not. Not for me, but it could be for somebody else.
Right. That's why I wanted to establish. I mean, so you're approaching this when you say the lens of the divine, this is the great mystery of something, the great mystery. It's not necessarily a physical being.
No. And I'm open to hearing what it was, is, or will be for you. No, because that's the evolution, possibly, that we're going to have. If somebody says to me, I don't want to talk about that at all, I'm going to ask, how come? Just how come? Mm-hmm. It's okay with me if we don't talk about it. I'm just curious. You know, how come? You've called to talk with me about spiritual companionship and not about psycho-spiritual counseling. So something is drawing you here. Might you be willing to just go inside yourself and I'll be still and explore that for yourself?
Sarah, do you find in your work that a lot of people, now you're focusing on elders, and for the sake of argument and the CDC and all the national people, let's assume that we use the 65-year-old, although right now the number is so tended, it's just irrelevant almost. But let's just assume that people 65 and over. Do you find a lot of the people that you're dealing with who really are searching, that there is a hunger for some spiritual connection in their life?
Absolutely. More and more than ever. What I've learned for myself personally, and for the people who contact me, is that the older people get, the more curious they get about their spiritual life.
Give me an example.
Okay, I'm going to give you a personal example. It hurts when you become a widow. You know, after so many years of being married, everything gets turned upside down. And no, I don't want to talk to, yes, I did talk to a grief counselor. Mm-hmm. But that's not, there's something lacking. I needed to talk to my spiritual companion who helped me look inside and see where I was hurting in relationship to my mystery. The questions that I had, how am I going to cope with this in a spiritual way? Not necessarily in a religious way. I might know all those rituals, but maybe I don't want to do them because I'm angry. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me that says, oh, if they're there for so many years, maybe there's a reason. And so I thought I would call you to explore them.
You're dealing a lot with the Book of Job questions.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Do you find that people, Sarah, who come to you, who speak with you, who search, who seek you out, are motivated more by a life trauma or a life event that shakes them up or changes the stasis, the balance in their life, and therefore forces them to reexamine? In other words, there's a motivating event rather than some gradual evolution of, oh my God, I think I want to explore this?
More often than not, it's the first. Mm-hmm. There are some people that say, well, now I have the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I'm retired and I can spend some time on my spiritual life. But most people come because, you know, I have to sell my house. I lived here for 50 years. How do I deal with that spiritually? How do I understand it? Do I get any support spiritually for that? Is there any support?
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk to my kids about any of this. Can you help me? And that's where we go into the questions for discernment.
We're speaking with Sarah Cohen, the spiritual counselor, a psycho-spiritual counselor, elder2elder.com. Sarah, if somebody wants to partake of your services and speak with you as a spiritual counselor, a spiritual guide, how do they get in touch with you?
They would email me at sarah@elder2elder.com.
And is there a website?
And my website is elder2elder.com.
Okay. Do you find that most of the people or many of the people who seek you out are members of an existing religious community, or the majority of the people who seek you out are not members?
I would say the majority have been members, but have pulled away since whatever trauma, upset has occurred in their life. And they're looking for a different avenue of looking at their spirituality rather than their religion per se.
So that's very interesting, because we see this a lot in the work that we're doing with Jewish Sacred Aging around North America. I see this increasingly that boomers are becoming extremely spiritual. In fact, the whole session that we do on new rituals really emerge from this, but not necessarily finding that spiritual linkage with the existing religious institution. So why do you think that is? Why do you think we're seeing so many people of our generation moving to embrace more spirituality, but doing so without the formal affiliation with a church or synagogue or religious institution? What's going on here?
I'm seeing exactly the same thing. And as you know, I serve two rabbinical seminaries. And that's the same question that they're asking. What's going on? How come the churches and synagogues are not serving the needs of boomers and on? And I think that's a question that needs to be addressed. What I find in my work is that people say, I don't want pastoral counseling from my rabbi or my minister or priest. And they don't know how to have a conversation with me personally about just my personal relationship with God. I'm using that word in the broadest sense.
It's better when you just said, people who say to you, I don't want pastoral counseling from my rabbi.
Pastoral counseling is, I come to my rabbi with a problem. I have to move in with my daughter. My daughter and I have never gotten along. I have no other choice. And then the rabbi or minister problem solves with me. how will I go about doing that? You know, step by step by step. And then you then you end that relationship because it's short term. In spiritual companionship, you might ask the same question. And I might ask you, begin with the same question, perhaps, that the minister or rabbi would. What is your fear? What is your fear? And the person might say, I don't know. And then I would ask them to go inside and look for guidance. Listen for the still small voice inside and see what happens. And I'll sit here and be with you. And when you feel like something has come up for you, just share it with me. And what they would share, I might ask a different question from that information, rather than give advice. In spiritual companionship, there is no advice giving. There's no judgment. It's creating a safe space for somebody to explore life from a different aspect, from a different lens of life.
So I have to push you on this a little bit.
Please, please.
You don't think that that takes place in the rabbi's office with a member of the congregation who has who may have a long-term relationship with that colleague and is a member of that community? You don't think that type of still small voice encounter in the process of problem solving, because a lot of times a congregant will come and the presenting issue is, I need to help me solve this problem. And in the course of that conversation opens the door to a rather deep spiritual encounter. You don't think that that happens?
I don't think it happens as often as it might be useful to happen.
Wow. I would really, having been this road for 40.
Oh, I know. Years, I know in your office it happened.
No. In all honesty, I know colleagues of all generations who I would respectfully disagree. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why people do stay members of a community, because they've been touched by the colleague and know that that colleague has helped them walk through a very, very difficult journey. The sadness is that so many people choose to disassociate for a whole variety of reasons. That's probably another program. I obviously look at it from a very, very different perspective, being, you know.
Rabbi Address, I have had rabbis and minister refer their congregants to me for psycho-spiritual counseling.
That's a totally different thing.
That's right.
Because most colleagues are not, quote, trained to enter a certain level of psycho-spiritual or psychological counseling.
Right.
And they know that if they're, you know, they're trained properly, they know they can, we can go. So we do have colleagues who have those degrees, have those credentials,
right,
and do a fantastic job. And I've referred congregants to some of these individuals. But most of us who have, I mean, I have a certification in pastoral counseling from a mental health institution as part of
my
doctorate.
Right.
But I know full well that I'm only trained to go so far. And especially in the course of a conversation with a congregant, things may come up which I really understand that I don't have the qualifications and to deal with that. They really need a much more experienced professional. That's a totally different thing. And so that's what I'm trying to get at. I guess I'm sticking up for my colleagues who.
No, I'm with you. There are times in a spiritual companionship when I'll invite somebody to go and talk to their rabbi or pastor to make that, if they have one, mm-hmm. make that bridge back. Or maybe to explore a different congregation than they had in the past.
And this goes back to what we were saying before, that so many people right now are unchurched, to use an old or as the Pew study said a couple of years ago, nuns, N-O-N-E-S, who have no religious affiliation. I have to ask you too, because you're now, as you said before, you've reached a stage in your career where you're devoting most of your, if not all of your energies in spiritual counseling to older adults.
Yes.
What? Give me the top three things from your experience that your clients, older adults, are coming to you to talk about. Can you?
Yes.
Can you just off the top of your head?
Sure. Life transitions and grieving. That is the top. I have to move into a retirement home. I'm scared to death.
I would imagine, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I would imagine that those conversations of life transitions touch on or at least lead into either expressed or unexpressed the issues of mortality and confronting my own mortality.
Absolutely. That's underlying it all. You hit it on the head. That's underlying it all.
Yeah, it underlines everything.
Yes, but how to get somebody there in safety to be able to address that in his or her own life. For me, I went to a week-long training session from Spiritual Eldering, and the workshop I did was Death as Homecoming. And it was really looking at all the positive things we have in our life today and how we can walk in that path and how we prepare for mortality, how we prepare our children, how we prepare spiritual documents, not the legal documents. That you know, that's different, that you already know about. And if you don't, I could give you resources. But how to do the inner work. Now, a surprise that came for me is that, you know, in Judaism, we have the last prayer that you say before you die or somebody says it for you, the Bidui. It's called the Bidui. And I discerned that I want my son-in-law to do that for me. And when I came home from this workshop, I went to my daughter and son-in-law. My daughter's a physician. And I said to her, Mindy, I release you from any expectations that I have. Whatever you as my medical power of attorney decide is perfectly 100% okay with me. And Paul, would you please do the Vidui for me if I can't do it myself? And my son-in-law started to cry, and so did I. But I felt so relieved that I have some safety in that. And there were a whole bunch of things, a list of things that I did. I wrote a spiritual autobiography, you know, a whole bunch of things that I also did with my spiritual director. So those are the kinds of things that I can do and do with my spiritual companioning. Help people face just the issues that you're talking about, because that mortality underlies it all.
No, that's the foundation for, well, first of all, it's the foundation for all religions, but the idea that one can find a companion to, in essence, spiritually support them and help guide them through what for many families, as you know, is a very, very challenging series of discussions.
Absolutely.
We've done podcasts with people who do, you know, the Conversation Project and National Healthcare Decision Day, and I work with a hospice here in Southern New Jersey, and the ability to try and have the conversation, as I'm sure, as you know, in your work, can take. It's not something you just schedule. It sometimes takes a while to allow families to become comfortable with, I need to have this conversation. So, the idea that you're available to help an individual manage that journey is a gift that I'm sure you're giving to many, many, many people. Again, Sarah Cohen, Elder to Elder, the Sarah at eldertoelder.com is probably the best way, according to what you're telling us, Sarah, to get in touch with you if somebody wants to contact you. And from what I see in some of your work, you are available on social media and are available to do counseling or conversations. Let's call them conversations on media like Zoom or, you know, right. Skype, yes, or whatever these, yes, other things are. Video con, whatever
Google chat, whatever people are doing now.
Whatever, as opposed to the old days, we just picked up the phone. And so anyway, as we're just about to run out of time here on this edition of Seekers of Meaning, let me just ask you, and again, I thank you for your time, and I thank you for the work that you're doing. If you could try and encapsulate one piece of advice that you would give elders who are taking a look at this stage and where we are in our lives, based upon your work, based upon your experience, based upon your own journey yourself, what would that piece of advice be?
My advice would be, trust that there is help and support for you. You do not have to do this alone. Much of life, we do it alone in our culture. But we don't have to do this alone. There are people like myself, there are clergy, there's access to support and helping you talk with your family or friends, so that you're not alone on your journey. And that you're not alone in the process, and that most of us at your age go through the same thing. And I just want to say that I was so blessed with support. And I am so grateful to be able to give support now from what I've experienced in both doing spiritual director to young people and now to us elders.
Well, I think what you're speaking to also is something that we've explored and will continue to explore. And most people that I speak with, and I'm sure you do too, really speak as well. And that is this need to be in relationship, to be in community, to be supported by another human being or another series of human beings, because the fear of isolation and the fear of being alone, especially as you were alluding to in the face of the ultimate aloneness, is something that really, I think, motivates the spiritual quest for people our age. So thank you for doing what you do and for spiritually holding so many people and helping them, guide them through some, obviously, as you described, some rather interesting and challenging moments in their life. Sarah Cohen, spiritual counselor and psycho-spiritual counselor, Sarah at eldertoelder.com. Thank you very much, Sarah, for being a guest here on today's edition of Seekers of Meaning. And I wish you good luck and continued health.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on, Rabbi Adler.
My pleasure. To all of you, I want to say thank you again for listening to today's edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of JewishSacredAging.com. Again, we invite you to sign up for our mailing list. Go to the homepage, JewishSacredAging.com. You can like us on the Jewish Sacred Aging Facebook page. We encourage your contributions. If you want to write and contribute to the website, we'd be more than happy to receive them. You can just send it to rabbiadress@jewishsacredaging.com. And a big shout out again to our producer, Steve Lubetkin, for these podcasts are recorded through the facilities of Lubetkin Media here in beautiful, bucolic, calm Cherry Hill, New Jersey. To all of you, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. We look forward to greeting you on the next edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast for Jewish Sacred Aging. I am your host, Rabbi Richard Adress. Thank you and shalom.